Okay, good morning. This week, Parshas Chayisara. So there's a very important Ramban at the beginning of the Parsha, which I think we've talked about in the past. So we'll leave that one for today. He just discusses the general question of where was Avraham, where did they live at that time, why wasn't Avraham present at the time of his wife's death. And he tries to put the psukim together. Well, we'll look at the beginning of the Parsha anyway. Begins on page 106 in the Stone Chumashim. Vayu chayei sarah, meyah shana v'asim shana v'sheva sinim shnei chayei sarah. So Sarah lived for 127 years. So Rashi right away points out, why does it say shana by each number? It says the kach nechtav shana b'chol klal u'klal lomar l'cho shekol echa nidrash atzmo, that each one should be learned and understood unto itself. Bas kuf kibas chof lechait, that when she was 100, she was like she was 20 when it came to sin, meaning that a 20-year-old is considered to not be, until you're 20, you're not a bar onshin, no punishment yet. So she was clean from chait. Ma bas chof lechata shereina bas onshin. So Rashi said it himself. Ach bas kuf lo chait. Bas chof kibas zayin liofi, and she was 20. She was as beautiful as she was when she was 7. And then Shnei Chayesera Ku and Shavan Latova, they were equal when it came to the goodness of her days. So Ramban says, yes, it is bothered by the same question that Rashi is bothered by, which is why does it repeat Shana each time by each number? Why does it have to say Shana? And he quotes Rashi. Again, that Rashi says that each one should be darshan to say that when she was 100, she was like 20 when it came to Chay, 20 like 7 comes to beauty. But the Ramban points out, and he points out that the Rashi says the same thing, the Chenkos of Vishnei Chayei Avraham, that when it comes to the life of Avraham, right, Avraham dies a little bit later on in Perek Chafhei, Pasuk Zayin. Right, page 120, he was 175 years old, and again, it spells them out as the years with Shana. And Rashi points out again, for some reason, not as famous as Sarah. Maybe because it's the end of the parsha, not at the beginning of the parsha. The things at the beginning we tend to pay more attention to. But Rashi points out, Ma'as Shana v'shim Shana v'chamesh Shanim ben Kuf ki ben Ayin l'koach. Right, you have to play. You have to explain differently because it's different numbers. So you need to compare the 100 to the 70s. Is that in terms of his strength, that he didn't lose his strength? Ben Ayin Kiben Hey, Velo Chayt, when he was 70, he was like he was 5 years old without any sin. Again, the same type of drasha that Rashi makes at the beginning of the parasha in terms of the life of Sarah Imenu. He makes the same when it comes to Avraham Avinu. Says the Ramban, V'ein Midrasho Zen Nachon. Says Rashi's wrong. How does he know that Rashi is wrong? So, and again, it's not the Ibn Ezra here. The Ramban takes the Ibn Ezra. He usually, rejects sort of out of hand. But Rashi, he at least gives Rashi a chance. But he has two problems with what Rashi says. He says, "Ve'im midrasho zenachon shay b'shnei chayei Yishmael ne'amar ki shnei chayei Avraham b'shaveh." Says, look a little bit later at also in Perek Chafei Pasuk Yud Zayin. The Torah says, page 122, Ve'ela shnei chayei Yishmael ma'as shana u'shloshim shana v'sheva shanim. He was 137 years old, and there also it has shana by each numeral.
To connect it to Yaakov.
So Rashi comments that the number was given to or connected to Yaakov, which is a different point. But it doesn't make any specific drasha about the fact that the word Shana appears repeatedly the same way he does when it comes to Sarah, and the same way that he does when it comes to Abraham.
And these are the only people in all time that will tell their years like this?
In that exact way?
Meaning with the word Shana separating each number?
Well, I'm not 100% sure, but the way the Ramban's going to explain is that it's not going to be that important, because he's going to say that basically that's the way the Torah writes.
Oh.
And then they just figure out, but it's more the language or the style of the pasuk. And then he says, and you can't say...
How does it connect to Yaakov?
How does it connect to Yaakov? So he says, we want to figure out, right, the Rashi there says, Amar b'chiyav ar'ava lama nimnu shnosav shal Yishmael. Why does the Torah tell us how old Yishmael was, that he was 137 years old? K'deliyacheis b'am shnosav shal Yaakov. So we can figure out the years of Yaakov. Mishnosav shal Yishmael amadnu shashimesh Yaakov b'veis ever. Because from the years of Yishmael we can figure out that Yaakov left his home to go learn in Yeshiva Shem Ever for 14 years. Sharei kishapirish Yaakov me'aviv meis Yishmael shnemar vayelach Esav el Yishmael. Because it says that when we know that Yaakov left. That's when Yishmael died. Because then Esau went to Yishmael, and otherwise Esau was together with Yitzchak. And the Gemara goes and figures out. Basically, oftentimes, when people that we don't necessarily care about their lives, their years are mentioned, it's in order to figure out something else. And those numbers are going to help us to figure out somebody else's life or something else in terms of history. And certainly the second drasha that Rashi makes, or rather, there were 2 points to Rashi's drasha at the beginning of Chayisar. It says year, year, year. So he says that's in terms of comparing the years. And also then he says, Kulan Shavin Latova, that they were all equally good. So he says, Viloa Yishavin Latova, when it comes to Yishmael, you certainly can't say that they were all equally good, because Avalamit Mitrila Hayara. At least he did tshuva in the end. You can't compare and say that's one long, beautiful life. Like, maybe you can apply it. The Gemara says that if you do tshuva mi'ava, so then your donos nasei mitzvos, then your averos become like mitzvos. But it's a little bit of a far fetched to assume that that's what he's that's what he had in mind. And he says intuitively, Rashi's drasha doesn't make sense. Because when you have shana, shana, shana separating within the number, it sounds like it's trying to separate the numbers from each other. If you just wanted to say it was all the same, so then you could just say it was 127 years. And if it was all 127 years, so then we would think that they all 127 years were the same. The fact that the Torah breaks up that there's 100 years, and it was 20 years, and it was 7 years, sounds like we're trying to specifically break up the life. So it's a counterintuitive type of drasha that Rashi's making. So again, the fact that it doesn't seem to be exclusively by these tzaddikim, by Avraham and Sarah, compounded with the fact that the drasha in and of itself is not very intuitive, that Ramban disagrees with Rashi. So why does it say this? Aval shana, shana v'shanim derech ha'lashon hu. Says it's just the linguistic, it's a style, it's the way that you write sometimes in Hebrew. Now you'll find cases where it's not the case, but again, I think the Ramban's point is that it's not something that we need to harp on. But what's the problem? The problem is that Rashi was quoting a Medrash. So it's okay for the Ramban to reject Rashi, but the Ramban certainly can't reject the Medrash. So there he gets back to explaining the Medrash. So he says the reason that the drasha of comparing the years and saying it was Kulan Shavu Latova, which comes from Chazal, that doesn't come from the fact that the Torah broke it up as Shana, Shana, Shana. It comes from the end of the Pasuk. Why does it said, Vayucha Yisra, Me'ashana, Vesim, Shana, Veshavashim, the years of Sarah were, the days, the life of Sarah was 127 years, Shnei Chayei Sarah, these are the years of Sarah's life. What do we gain with those extra words at the end of the Pasuk, Shnei Chayei Sarah? So that's what the Ramban says, that's what Chazal were focusing on. When Chazal said that Kulan Shavin Latova, it wasn't because of the Shana being put in. That's a stylistic issue. That's a way that the Torah writes. The way that the Chachamim knew that it was Kulan Shavin Latova is because why else did the Torah go back and in the same Pasuk say twice, these are the years of Sarah? If it said at the beginning of the Pasuk, it doesn't need to repeat it at the end of the Pasuk. The fact that it repeated again at the end of the Pasuk is trying to put in a bookends on the life of Sarah to say that it really was the same. And he says,
do that for Abraham.
And he says we don't have the same drasha in Chazal when it comes to Abraham.
Oh, so just Rashi just stuck it with Avraham?
So it's that either, and he says, Velo Yidrashu Kein Ba'Avraham, and the Chachamim did not make such a drasha for Avraham. So it seems to be that one Rashi was saying, at least the Ramban understood that Rashi was saying it on his own. And I don't want to build too much on it. The article does not give any citation to a medrash, which it usually does when it comes from a medrash. The implied question I think that the Ramban is answering is he understood why Rashi did it. The reason Rashi did it, Rashi was compelled to do it by Avraham because Rashi was learning that it was because of the Shana. Shana, Shana, Shana. So since it was because of Shana, 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 so Rashi, even if Chazal didn't do it, Rashi said, okay, well, let's follow the same style that the Chazal did for the first Drasha, and Rashi put it in himself. But according to the Ramban's answer, there's no reason to come on to what Rashi is saying because he understood that the Drasha comes from the fact that it repeats. These were the years of sorrow, which it doesn't do by Avraham. So the Ramban has no reason to learn the same idea that by Sarah and by Avraham. Maybe that answers our original question of why was it so famous only by Sarah, not from Avraham. Maybe because that one's a medrash and this one is only.
What does Rashi say about why he doesn't say anything at Yishma? I'm guessing
right.
He doesn't, but then why?
Right. So that he'll probably learn that for Russia the rule's not true or something. It's a dumb, that's going to be the main difficulty. That's certainly the main difficulty that the Ramban is pointing out. So again, it's just very interesting how he's struggling with a pshat issue. He's struggling with something that Rashi says, and they're each trying to figure out where in the pasuk, because sometimes it's not clear. Sometimes the Chazal quote an entire pasuk. Sometimes you'll find in a Gemara or in Chazal somewhere they'll even quote part of a pasuk and then v'chulei, you know, etc. So sometimes when there are multiple options within the pasuk where to learn it from, it's not clear. We know that Chazal got it out of this pasuk, but it's not always 100% clear where they got it from in the pasuk. And maybe that's part of what was going on here. Rashi understood or thought that it came from Shana, Shana, Shana. And the Ramban says, no, it's from something totally different. It's from the fact that it repeated Shnei Chayei Sarah. It's all in the same pasuk, but it's again trying to figure out where Chazal get it from. What's interesting in Gemara in general, whenever the Gemara quotes a pasuk and then says v'chulei, it's usually the part that the Gemara does not write, which is the focus of whatever the Gemara is going to talk about afterwards. It's usually the part that's left out, the etc. That's usually where it is, and that tends to throw people off because if you don't realize that and you're trying to figure out how the Gemara can say what it's saying based on those three words, because you would have assumed that it would put in the main words. Again, I don't know that the Chazal did that or the printers did that. I'm not sure who took out the words the pasuk and put in the etc. But oftentimes in Gemara, that's what you find is that it's the etc. or the vegomer, whatever it is. That's what the Gemara is focusing on, and not the words that it actually says. Okay, that's the first point. The first point wanted to look at again, which is an interesting, very famous comment of Rashi, which is not as simple as it may normally be accepted to be. Okay, so Sarah Imenu passes away, and Avraham Avinu now tries to find acquire a burial plot for her. Vatama Sarah beKiryas Arba hi Chevron, and Sarah dies in Kiryas Arba, which is Chevron beEretz Kenan, in Eretz Kenan. Vayavo Avraham nispod leSarah veLiv Kosa, and Avraham Avinu comes to eulogize Sarah and to cry over her. Vayakam Avraham yapteim eso, and Avraham gets up from his wife. Vayidaber al bnei Ches leimor, and he has this conversation with the people of Ches. And he tells them, Ger v'soshav anochi imochem, I'm sort of sojourning in your place, living here, not a full member. Tenu liach luzas kevri imochem, please give me a place to a burial plot amongst you. V'ekbiram esim el fanai, I'll be able to bury my deceased wife here. And they responded to Avram saying, Shemoinu Adoni, listen, you're like a prince of Hashem, of God, amongst us. We'll give you whatever, the top plot, whatever you want, we'll give it to you. Ayakam Avraham Ayishtachla Amarth Nechais. Avram gets up and he bows in front of the Bnei Ches. They're very telling more, and he speaks to them saying, if you really want to let me berry in front here. Shimauni afigaliv Ephron ben Socher. Let me meet with Ephron ben Socher. Vitan li et narasa machpela shelo asher v'ktei sadehu. To give to me narasa machpela, which is on the edge of his field. B'chetzef maleit and leave Socherem nachudas kavra. I'll pay full price. Ephron yoshev b'sof and Echeis, and Ephron was sitting there together with the people of Echeis. Vayan Ephron achidias Avraham b'az neven Echeis. The chol boi shari roli mor, and he answered in front of everybody saying, Lo adoni shemayni asodena sati loch v'amara sharbolach anasatia. I'll give you the field, I'll give you the cave. Le'inei v'nei amine satia loch kevor meisach, in front of everybody, in order to bury your dead. Vayishtach v'avraham v'amaretz, and he bows again. Vayidaber l'afron b'az neven Echeis le'mor, Achi matalu shemayni, listen, nasati kesef asodek kachmei v'kiras meis yishama, no, I'll pay you for the field, and I'll be able to bury my dead here. Vayan Ephronus Avram Le Marlo, and Ephron responds again, hold back and forth here. Adonishim Lein Eret Avram Yoshekel Kesef Bina Vein Chama, here what's 400 shekel between us. Best made Slokavor, and then you can bury her. Vayishma Avram Al Ephron, Vayishma Avram Ephronus Kesef, the river's in the face. Avram Yoshekel Kesef Erat Socher, and he pays him. Vayakam Sey Ephron Asher Vamachpelah, so the Sodev of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, Asher Lefnei Mamrei, in front of Mamrei, became Avram, that's Hadeh, the field, Amara, Shebo, the Chalais, Hashem was Hadeh, the trees, the cave, everything, Hashem b'chol g'vulo saviv. Let's just finish up, because we already went this far. Avraham l'mikdol le'nev ne'ches b'chol bo'ei sha'ariro, and it was purchased by Avraham for everybody, v'acharei chen, and afterwards, karvar Avraham esarai, so Amara, stea machpila, pe'marei, Hebron, be'eretz kina'an. And he buried her in Hebron in Eretz Kinaan. Vayakam asadev amara shebel Avraham achuzas kaver. This became a burial pot for Avraham. Meyes b'nei ches, from the people of Ches. So first question is, so why is Ma'arasa Machpelah called Ma'arasa Machpelah? Why is that called that? So Rashi, based on the Gemara, says two explanations. He says the Machpelah, right? Machpelah sounds like kaful, which is doubled. So what's doubled about it? Okay. So the first explanation that Rashi gives is bayis v'ali al gabav. It was like a one room with an attic on top of it. It was like two rooms. Dovracher shekfula bezugos, that it has multiple pairs. That there are four couples that are buried there. Okay. Says Ramban. What?
Does he negate Rashi again?
He might.
But they weren't buried there yet.
He does, actually. He doesn't like...
Oh, I thought Adam and Chava buried there.
Adam and Chava were buried there. But he asks a very good question. He says like this. Merat ha-mach pe'lah. Lashon Rashi. Rashi says, Bayis v'ali agabav. It's a lower floor with an attic with an upper floor above it. The Ravah shekfula bezugos, or it's doubled with couples. Says Ramban again, ve'inenu nachon. Rashi is mistaken. Now, Rashi's quoting a Gemara, so the Ramban can't be totally rejecting it, but he may be rejecting this as the source of the name, as he's going to say in a moment. It could be the Gemara again. Oftentimes, when the Gemara comments on the name of a place, it will homiletically understand that there's a connection to the events that happened there in the name of the place, without necessarily being the reason that the place is named as. Rashi seems to be telling us that this is the reason why it was called Machpelah. The Ramban says it's difficult because Ki Akasuv Amar Stei Ephron Asher B'Machpelah. Right, we read through the entire section, the whole parak, and it says in pasuk
10.
Yud Zayin. Now, in pasuk Tes, it just says, "Vitan li es Ma'arasa Machpelah." Give me Ma'arasa. He's going to give him Ma'arasa Machpelah. In pasuk Yud Zayin, it says, "Vayakam Stei Ephron Asher B'Machpelah." That they feel that Ephron, which was in Machpelah, which is in front of Mamre, Hasodev Amerah Shabo. And then, when he was giving the field, which was in Machpelah, he gave the field plus the cave. So Ramban says, the name of the cave wasn't Machpelah. The name of the area was Machpelah. Because what does this pasuk mean if the name of the cave is Machpelah? Here it says that the field is Machpelah. It was in, whether it was just the field, was the only thing in Machpelah, or Machpelah was even broader than the field. The Torah is clearly telling us later on that Machpelah is something broader because the field and the cave are in Machpelah. B'nei Hushem HaMakom Asher Bo'asoteh. The Torah is very clear that it's the name of the place where the field was located. Vein Sorech Levakish Tan Hushem HaMakomos. And he says, and there's no reason in general. Why do we have to figure out why it was called? There are names of places throughout the entire Torah. And we don't always sit there trying to figure out why the place is called whatever it's called.
It says why.
I don't know.
A lot of times it says why. It'll say because Bnei Israel did this. Or it'll
like sometimes we'll have, Dome or other places. Just that's their name.
Yeah.
The Torah tells why Hebron is called Hebron. That's right here. It's very significant. Mm-hmm. Very significant place. And the Torah here tells us Kiryas Arba. It doesn't tell us why Kiryas Arba is called Kiryas Arba, which is a machlokas, at least four or five opinions why Kiryas Arba is called that, what the four is referring to. So we don't always try to figure it out.
But Machpelah is not in Hebron, it's facing Hebron.
Right, that's what it sounds like from the... it's sort of what it sounds like in the Psukim. The pasuk which is probably the clearest in terms of trying to figure out is pasuk Yitzchak also, right? V'achareichen kavar Avraham esar ishtel el me'aras de'a Machpelah, to the cave which is in the field of Machpelah, apnei mamrei Chevron. Sounds like the name of Chevron. Sounds like Chevron so far has at least three names, right? Mamrei, Chevron, and Kiryas Arba. And this parak, it sounds like Chevron has at least those three names. I think there might be a fourth as well. I don't remember. What off the top of my head?
That's why it's called
Kiryas Arba. I think somebody did say that actually. But right, it sounds like it's either juxtaposed or right next to it. Again, I don't know exactly where the borders are, but correct. It sounds from this pasuk that it's somehow adjacent to it or in front of it. So the Ramban does point out that we do find in Midrashim that they do try to give some reasons why it was called Machpelah, and he gives a different reason. Because Bereshis Rabba Amro, and Bereshis Rabba says, Shekafa Lakadosh Baruch Hu Komaso Shel Adam Harishon Hu Kevaro Bisocha. The reason that it was called Machpelah was because, as we know from Chazal, Adam Harishon was very tall, and he didn't fit. So he said Hashem had to fold him in half in order to fit him inside. So it says, right? Kafa Lakadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem had to fold him, Komaso, his height, Shalom Arishon Kavar Basokha, and then bury him inside of that field. Valdaita Mayakola Makamau Nikrake Meolam Veimlo Yadu Taimo. He doesn't think that they were trying to, the Medrash was trying to say that the reason that it was called Machpelah is because Adam had to be folded over in order to fit in. It doesn't sound like that's so significant. That the reason it was called Machpelah is because it was called Machpelah. That's how it was always known. Chazal finds, again, they, for whatever reason, whatever the homiletical message, again, you don't, not all these majestics necessarily have to be taken for their literal value. They can be a homiletic teaching as well. It was something else that Chazal wanted to gain from this. And he said that there's no reason to assume that it was everybody knew, Ephron also knows it as Machpelah. And as far as we know, Ephron has no idea that anybody's buried there. So to say that everybody knew it's called Machpelah because Adam Arishon is buried there, and had Ephron known that Adam Arishon was buried there, he either wouldn't have sold it or he would have raised the price even more than he did. So it would seem to me that it was definitely not something that was known that this was the name, but that was the name, that's what it was called. Now, the other point that Ramban tries to deal with is, again, in the Pesukim, it's very unclear, what did Avraham Avinu want to buy? At the beginning, he clearly asked for the cave. He asked for the cave that was inside the field of Ephron. Like the Yitin Lim Pasuk Tes, as Marasa Machpelah Shelo Asher Bikzei Sodeyu. It doesn't sound like he's asking to purchase the field. He's asking to purchase some cave which is in the corner of his field. Then when Ephron turns around in Pasuk Yud Aleph, he says, "Don't worry, I'll give you the field, I'll give you the cave, I'll give it all to you, and you can bury her there." And then he responds to Ephron and Pasuk Yud Gimel by Diverla from Bazam Rasim Achim Atulish Men Asati Kesef Hasodek Achman. Okay, sounds like he's saying whatever you want. You want to sell me the field? I'll purchase the field, and he'll pay for the entire field. And in the end, it seems pretty clear that's what he got. Pasuk Yud Zayin by Yalkam Stay Ephron Asherva Machpelah. That's the field of Ephron, which is in Machpelah, which is in Sfei Marei Hasodek, the field Hamerashebo, the cave. All the trees, the entire plot of this field was purchased by Avram. So Ramban says, "Vine Avram lo yamavakesh rak limkor lo amara." He says it's pretty clear. All Avram wanted was a cave. Kihibik seyasadeh was on the edge of the field. There wouldn't have been a problem. Yishar asadeh Ephron, and the rest could have remained Ephron. V'hu amar lo derech muster o mirma sheitin lo asadeh amara. But Ephron was either telling him something of common courtesy, or was trying to deceive him into paying more money, that this isn't appropriate. If you're going to take the corner of the field, then you should be really taking the entire field. Ki lo yitachin lo dem nechbar kamosh et yeh lo amara lachuzas kever v'asadeh yeh l'acher. He said, it's not Bekovedik, you're Avram Avinu. No, and it's significant, because the Ramban's going to make another comment soon, that part of this entire, the Ramban believes, that part of the reason that the Torah recorded this entire conversation, with all the back and forth, is to show how great Avraham Avinu was in the eyes of the nations, that they called him, Nesi Elokim Atah B'Zochenu, Lo Adoni Shemoeni. They did show him respect, and part of that, the Ramban says, was that Ephraim might have been telling him, listen, you can't go through somebody else's field to get to your wife's, kever when you want to visit. It's not a coveting. So, I'll tell you the whole thing. Avraham samach b'kasa. I'm like, good, no problem. V'kanakol b'damim sheiz kilo, and with that whatever amount that he asked for, that's what he paid. So the Ramban, again, getting back to this last point that I was trying to make, comments on Pasuk Yud Tes. The Pasuk Yud Tes, it says v'achareichen kover Avraham asar ishto, that afterwards he buries her in Sarah's wife. So it sounds repetitive. We already know where Machpelah was, because it said that at the beginning. That was the second pasuk. But Tamas Sarah b'kiras avayichavron b'eretz Kenan. We already know that she died in Chevron in Eretz Kenan, and then the entire story is taking place there with the Bnei Chais. So we've already been told where Chevron is, and yet the Torah is stressing to us that Chevron is in Eretz Kenan. So why is there so much detail? So says the Rambam, the reason the Torah says it again, that it was in Marasa Machpelah, and this is in Chevron, which is in Eretz Kinan, it went back to tell us the name of the field, the name of the place, the name of the land, because the entire section of this of the Bnei Ches and Ephron was being brought the field of his care, but so to Eretz Kenasha he Eretz Yisrael. One thing you should have to realize that all of this is in Eretz Yisrael. Don't think that Chevron, that this is on a border, or somehow this belonged to Bnei Ches. Just because Bnei Ches were living there, don't think this was not part of the land that was promised to Avraham Avinu. This was part of the land. Chevron is part of Eretz Yisrael. That's why it says at the beginning also, the Kiryas Arba hi Chevron Beretz Kenan. It stresses that Kiryas Arba Chevron is part of the land. The Chol Zelavayer, and it also points out ki Tzadikas Mesa Beretz Yisrael v'sham Nikbara ki Achitim Mishpechos Kenan, that the Bnei Ches were people of Kenan, they were living there, but it wasn't their land. It's part of Eretz Yisrael, and she merited to die and be buried in Eretz Yisrael. And he says, right, yeah.
But Machpelah was separate from Chevron. That's a distinction is made. So when he purchased it, it became part of Eretz Yisrael?
Again, it could be the whole... I think the whole thing was always included in Eretz Yisrael. I mean, some say this was one of the tests of Avraham Avinu, to have to pay and be knocked around in terms of trying to pay for land that he knows that God really gave to him. It was not and under the circumstances of having his wife who had passed away still not been buried, that was part of the test. I think the whole thing was always meant to be, and I don't think there'd be any difference between Machpelah and Chevron. The point is, Torah is stressing that all this is part of Eretz Kenan. Not that any of it became Eretz Kenan. Eretz Kenan, which is future Eretz Yisrael. Afterwards, it was all part of the original land, which was given.
And the three places that we still fight about, right? Shem, Chevron, and Har HaBayis. All of those are documented that we pay for them.
Right. Now, why was the whole story mentioned? Says the Ramban, V'nichtav azos ha-parshas that I mentioned before, the hodiyah chaz de Hashem im Avraham, that this was to point out the tremendous chesed that Hashem has done from Avraham. Right? Avraham came from being a nobody, this is another person in the world, and now with everything that again he had discovered Hashem and with what Hashem had given him, although he was doing his own thing, he was individual, and he didn't necessarily have his whole big following there, they still, when he walked differently. When he was perceived differently. And they right away addressed him differently as Adoni, as Nasi Elokim. V'chol ama yukorin lo Adoni. Everybody referred to him as my master. V'lo amar lo enkein shaya sarvigadol. This wasn't that he referred to himself that way, the same way, you know, an important person would say, you have to call me with a title. The gam mechayav kiyem lo v'agadlah shemecha v'ibracha was part of the bracha. He said, you leave your father's land and go, I will bless you, v'agadlah, I'll make you great, v'ibracha, and it will be a blessing. V'yishto meisa v'ikrav mirenachas Hashem, and then in the end, his wife died in the portion of that Hashem had given him. A second reason he gives is v'od ki ratel odeinu makam kivuros avos. It was important to teach us where the avos were buried. We are obligated to honor the site where our avos were buried. So it gets into a very interesting discussion, which is the general concept of kivrei tzaddikim. And the kivrei tzaddikim, kivrei avos, they certainly, again, they seem to play a very, in terms of minhag at least, a central role in Yahadus, but on the other hand, it seems kind of funny, because what do we gain by going to Kever Avos? What's the special, zuchus? We certainly don't believe in davening to people who are no longer alive. We don't believe in davening to people who are alive either. All our tefillos are always focused towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And yet, it seems clear that if the Torah wants us to, again, what the Ramban is saying right now, if the Torah wants to identify it and lechabed, and as a place which is honored, it sounds like there is a certain amount of kedusha or something special to it. So it's not clear where exactly that comes from. What?
All of these
shvarim.
Right. It's a
fundamental question. So again, so the Rishonim already talk about it and try to figure out what it's all about. The Ran, one of his drushos, speaks about it at length. The approach seems to basically be two things. So first of all, I think everybody agrees that it's probably, at least potentially, an Isser Doraisa to daven directly to a person who's dead. It's, there is no source for that in Judaism. So why do we go to the Kivrei Tzaddikim? So either it's to try and invoke the Zechuyos, that if we're davening in the place where these people are buried, that somehow the Zechuyos of their Tfilos will somehow accompany our Tfilos. So it's not something that necessarily we do, but somehow it could change the quality of our Tfilos. Then others say that it's an opportunity that, again, if the idea that we have of Rachel Imenu being, again, Rachel Mavakal Baneha is a pasuk in Tanakh. But the idea of them, again, we see this in poetry, in kinos, and in slichos, and the Yeshene Chevron, those sleeping in Chevron, we hope are going to be some sort of Melus Yosher. So maybe it could be that some concept like that does exist, but we can't address that to them. But by davening in those places, we can't say, please go up and be a Melus Yosher for us. I don't think so. But by davening in those places, then maybe it automatically accomplishes that. Meaning not that the concept is wrong, it's just a question of how our tefillos need to be directed. And it could be, and that's why, I don't know, I was thinking about this for a while this week, but it could be that's why, again, why was Avraham Avinu so concerned with having Maaret HaMachpelah? to bury her somewhere else. Neither did to let the avos be buried wherever else. Let them choose a good spot that nobody's going to fight over, and let them be buried there. So the Medrash tells us that back in last week's parsha, when he was preparing the food for the malachim, so it says that he was running after the gedi in order to catch it, in order to prepare it for the malachim. And the story goes in the Medrash that the Gedi ran all the way to, I guess, where everybody was, but ran all the way to Mara Samach Pela, and Avraham Avinu was able to somehow smell, sense something, that this is the Pesach to Gan Eden, this is the Shahr, this is the opening to Gan Eden, and at that point he determined this is the place where we want to be, buried. So what does that mean? I mean, on multiple levels, what does that mean? But again, in terms of Avraham Avinu, so Avraham Avinu is going to get a better place in Olam Haba because of where he's buried. He's not going to get into Gan Eden the same way, whether he's buried closer to the entrance, not closer to the entrance. That sounds a little bit funny. But what I was thinking maybe is the idea is that, and maybe this is reflected in the name of Chevron also, which is being a chibur, which is being a connection. And that's that we know that there are certain places where the Shechina is shora, and the Shechina is more, for lack of a better term, we'll call it concentrated, than other places. Ramban's going to write it later on, maybe we'll see it later, that Eretz Yisrael has a different Hashras HaShechina than Chutz La'aretz. It's qualitatively, it's a different way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu expressing himself to Am Yisrael. So maybe the same thing is true, and that's what it means that it's a Pesach to Gan Eden. That he sensed that this was a place where there is a greater level of Kedushas. The same way we actually have it in a few weeks when it comes to the Makom HaMikdash. So Makom HaMikdash also is a way of connecting. We see the Malachi Elokim, the Sulam, the Malachim are Olam V'Yardim, but it also seems to be a place of connection of Olam Hazen, Olam Haba. It's a connection of the physical and the spiritual. So somehow there was something about the quality of Maras HaMachpelah, which also serves, again, on a spiritual level, as this Pesach to Gan Eden. So why is it so important for Avraham Avinu? He's dead anyway. Why is it so important for him to be buried there? See, that's exactly the point that based on everything else that we said, it is exactly the point. The point wasn't for Avraham Avinu. It made no difference for Avraham Avinu where in Eretz Yisrael that he was going to be buried. He'll have the same schar anyway. But once what the Ramban is saying is that he knows that it's important for the future generations to have this, to be mechabe de kivrei avos. So he wants that they're going to go to a place to daven, not to him, but when they're going to visit the kivrei avos and to try and remind HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the zechuyos of the avos and that in their merits, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should grant us whatever it is that we need, that place will be a place where there's a stronger Hashras HaShechina, because if there's a stronger Hashras HaShechina, so then the Tfilos have more of a possibility or whatever it is, a better chance of being accepted. There are different quality of Tfilos, the same way that the Makom HaMikdash is a place where, because of its connection of the physical to the spiritual, it has that greater Hashras HaShechina, so too maybe Maras HaMachpelah serves as that same point. It's this Pesach to Gan Eden. It's not a physical Pesach. It's not an opening to anything else, but there's a spiritual quality to it that Avraham Avinu sensed and said, I want to be buried there, so when my children come, they're going to daven in this place where there's a greater chance that tefillos are going to be accepted because there's a bigger and greater Hashras HaShechina. So maybe that's really, and that's maybe is what the name is about of Chevron, of it, it serves as this chibur, it's this place where there's this connection between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael, which is deeper and stronger than in other places, and therefore Avraham Avinu went out of his way to make sure that this was going to be the place where he would be buried, and in the future the other avos will be buried. It connects back to Adam Arishon, which maybe, you know, it speaks to the quality of the place as well. But ultimately, what it was about was ensuring that his children in the future would come to daven in a place where there's a greater chance, not to daven to him, but to daven in a place to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where there's going to be that deeper sense of a Hashras HaShechina and the connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Maybe we'll just flip to that Ramban quickly that I just mentioned in passing. It's just a little bit later in Parashat Avdalah, Pasuk Gimel. So it says, "Vashbiacha b'Hashem Elokei Hashemayim Elokei Aretz Asher Lo Tikach Yishol Livnim Ibnos Saknani Asher Anochi Yoshev B'Kevot." Page 110, on top of the page. So he makes Eliezer swear by the God of heaven, the God of earth, that you're not going to take a wife for my son from the Kna'ani girls. So, what does it mean, Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz? Well, it means God of the heavens, God of the earth. So it sounds fairly straightforward. The Ramban, however, says that it's mistranslated. We translate it again often as God of heaven and God of earth. He says that's incorrect. So what does it mean, Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz? He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yikarei Elokei Eretz Yisrael. When it says Elokei Haaretz, it means that he's the God of Eretz Yisrael. Elokei Hashemayim means the God of heavens. Elokei Haaretz means the God of Eretz Yisrael. Kidduchsev, as it says in the Pasuk in Malachim, Lo Yadu Es Mishpat Elokei Haaretz, that he did not know the law of the God of the land. And it says, what did they do? Vayidabru Elokei Yerushalayim Kelokei Amei Haaretz. They spoke of the God of Yerushalayim as the God of the peoples of the earth. So again, when it's talking about not knowing the God of the land, and they were in Eretz Yisrael at the time, sounds like it's referring to Eretz Yisrael. So how does he know that? So what he's bothered by, it seems to be what he's bothered by, now he says it explicitly. If you look at Pasuk Zion, it says, Hashem Elokei Hashemayim, Hashem Elokei Chani Beis Avi. He only refers to him as Elokei Hashemayim. So how come here it's Elokei Hashemayim, God of heaven, not Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz? Says Ramban, Ki Ayob Becharon of Bor Kazdim. Where was he when he was Beis Avi? He was in Chutz Laaretz. He was not in Eretz Yisrael. Outside of Eretz Yisrael, he's just referred to as Elokei Hashemayim. Inside Eretz, when we're referencing Eretz Yisrael, then we refer to him as Elokei Hashemayim, Elokei Haaretz. Why? Because again, there's a theme which the Ramban is consistent about throughout his works, is that the Ramban is very adamant that the Hashras HaShechina is qualitatively different than Eretz Yisrael. And it's not to say that he's not the God of the land, but when the Torah is using the phrase, Elokei Hashemayim certainly covers everything. He's God of the heavens. That would have been fine. It would have sufficed it to say that God is the God of the heavens. But he says, if you notice, whenever it says Elokei Haaretz, it's when Eretz Yisrael is in the context. And then the Ramban finishes by quoting the very famous Gemara. The Chein Amru, the Gemara says in Ksubas, Hadar Bechutz El Haaretz Doma Kimish Eino Eloka, that anybody who lives outside of Eretz Yisrael is as if he doesn't have a God. Clearly, it doesn't mean that the mitzvahs don't apply outside Eretz Yisrael, and it doesn't mean that God is not outside Eretz Yisrael. So what does it mean? It means what the Ramban says, which is that the relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fundamentally different. It is a different, you can't say it, but it's almost like a different Hashem, meaning it's the same source, but he relates to us differently in Eretz Yisrael and outside of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, Ramban also writes, I think it was in last week, but somewhere else. He basically writes that even the mitzvot that we do are qualitatively different and inferior when this very same mitzvah is done in Chutz Laaretz. The same mitzvah in Chutz Laaretz, he basically says, was only given to us to practice until we get to Eretz Yisrael. If they keep us going. Again, it still has the same halakhic strength of a deraisa when it's deraisa, or a derabana when it's a derabana. But again, qualitatively, the effect of the mitzvot is different. And again, and that's what the Ramban says here as well. You can connect to the other point, and then even within Eretz Yisrael, different areas have different levels of kedusha. Every Yerushalayim has more kedusha than other places. And again, what we were saying earlier is that could be that Chevron and Maras HaMachpelah are also places that have a greater kedusha than other places, even within Eretz Yisrael. Can we look at one more comment on the Ramban? Actually, some of this basic area. Let's just flip back to the beginning of this parak. Ramban makes an interesting comment. First pasuk in Parak Chav Dalad, page 108, Chav Dalad pasuk Aleph says, "Va'Avraham Zokein Ba Bayomim, Hashem Erach Es Avraham Ba Kol." Avram was on in years, and he blessed him with everything. What does it mean that Hashem blessed him with everything? So Rashi says, Bakol Ola Begematria Ben. If you do the Gematria of Bakol, it equals Ben. Both are 70. Me'achar Shailo Ben, and then why is that important right now? Because what's the story which is going to follow? He has to find him. He has to find the shidduch. He has to find him a wife. Me'achar Shailo Ben, Hayatzarach La'Sio Isha.
Isn't it 52? Ben?
Oh, I'm sorry, you're correct. 52. Yes. Both are 52. Yeah. Good. I was looking at it for like a chuff for a second. I wasn't thinking. Good. So, fine. That's what Rashi says. I'm sorry. So Ramban explains, and he says, what's the simple reading? The simple reading is that he had everything. Ba'osher, Nechasim, Kavod, Arach Yomim, Bonim. Anything that a person could want. He had wealth, he had happiness, he had honor, he had long days, he had children. This karakasav zeh lomar ki hashol en bakon. That's the simple reason for us that the Torah just wanted to say that he was satisfied with everything that he had. Lo chaser davar zulasi shirabanin livno shenchal ha'masifot. The only thing he was lacking was the continuation. That he had to make sure that he had these grandchildren. And that's why he wanted the right wife. Then he brings a medrash, which is found in the Gemara. This is a remarkable idea found in the Medrash. Amru, it says, Hashem erachas Avram b'kol, that Hashem blessed Avram with everything. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Meir Omer, what does it mean that he was blessed with everything? Shelo haisa lo bas, that he did not have a daughter. Ramban's going to explain why not having a daughter is a blessing. Rabbi Yehuda, Ramban is going to explain.
What is that?
I'm on the same team. I have four. Rabbi Yehuda says, Bas Haisulo, that Bas with everything means that he did have a daughter.
And the rabbi said yesterday that Bakol was actually the daughter's name.
Achirim omrim, Bas Haisulo u'Bakol Shema. The third opinion is that he had a daughter, and Bakol was her name. Three opinions in the Medrash. And the Ramban breaks them down to go, what are they arguing about? How do you understand all these opinions? And he says, Darash Rabbi Meir Shelo Haisulo Bas Avram. What did Rabbi Meir say? That Hashem blessed him with everything, that he did not have a daughter. Why is that a blessing? He says something fascinating. Zelo the bracha. Why was it a bracha? Kilo hayayachol hasiya rak livnei kana and harurim. Because there was nobody appropriate for her to marry. So to have that daughter and then have nobody for her to marry except for these cursed people of Canaan, it was a bigger bracha not to have a daughter.
Why couldn't Eliezer find a husband
for her? Because there was nobody. No, because Avram was...
No, well, the rabbi was saying...
Or she would have to leave.
She would have to go and live in the husband's house.
Yeah, she would have to
also,
live.
Okay, that works as well. Good. V'mishalchenu l'artso, gam kein tamu... That's what he said. The Ramban says that also. V'mishalchenu l'artso, if he sent her to the house of the husband, gam kein tamu shal avodah zarah kamosa. She's going to get swept up in the avodah zarah. That the wife is together within in the house of their husband. And then again, he says he wouldn't even want that Zara wouldn't even want that her descendant, that her daughter would live outside of Eretz Yisrael, and certainly not after Avodah Zarah, nor the more so if she's going to be worshiping Avodah Zarah. So just fascinating. We see what the Ramban understood was that, again, the comment which again made us all like sort of chuckle at the beginning because it sounds very strange. How could it be a blessing not to have a daughter? Ramban is saying that, you know, when sometimes we hope for things or look for things, and we're not always thinking about the ramifications. And in such a situation, if you know that the end is not going to be good, then sometimes the bracha is not to even have it to begin with. And that Hashem Berachas Avram Bakol was with that complete picture, with the perfect understanding that having less in this case was having more. And not having to send out a daughter who's going to undermine everything and be swept up in the tide of everything else that was happening in the world, and not be able to continue on that legacy. That was the bracha. So what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda darash ki bas faisalo, that Avram did have a daughter. Da filu bartol chaser rachmana, God did not withhold anything from him. via bracha bakol ki yoyer lo kol asheyach v'lanashim lo chaser davar v'achirim v'hizkirushim abbas. And Rabbi Huda says, then listen, that bakol means that Hashem, again, not responding maybe directly to a mayor, that bakol means that anything that a person could desire, even a son, a daughter, everything, the complete picture, that's what he was granted. And he says that the third opinion, that her name was bakol, isn't necessarily arguing with the second opinion, it's complimenting it and finishing up the story. And he says, v'emesh eina kavan alachirin v'amachokas lamim Rabbi Huda lo'diyo sam shem abbas azol spavad, right, the machokas between the last opinion and the others was not an argument about the name. And far be it from them that they're trying to limit the bracha. It sounds almost that they're arguing though it has to be something specific. Why can't it be what the Ramban said at the beginning, that he had everything? Everything is great. Why should anything be limited? Right, because far be it from right there, they're trying to limit the blessing in that they're trying to say that it was only one daughter, and Bako was his name. Ben Bako was her name. Aval achir mechizu v'yashakaz was an inyan amok ma'od v'darshu b'zeso nukodas haTorah. Okay, and then he goes on to a part that where again the Rabban has many Kabbalistic interpretations as well, and he said that Bako was actually one of the midos that Hashem called Kol, which Hashem relates to us. Can look at it on your own if you want to try and decipher what the Ramban is saying. Hafi Kabbalah, I am not capable of elucidating that. But again, but what you see, and again, I really want to focus more. First of all, the way the Ramban takes every opinion in Chazal and tries to draw out as much meaning as he can from it. He took them all seriously, and he didn't just if he said that the bracha is not having a daughter, there has to be something to it. And again, the explanation that Ramban gives is just an important yesod in life. Just that. Again, we want so many things, but sometimes the things that we want, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, they're not going to end up the way that we want them to be. So sometimes it's better not to have it from the beginning. And the other ones are just trying to, again, point out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's blessings can certainly be something which is all-encompassing. Okay, we'll stop here.
Thank you.